the obsession around me to cover myself up was based on a woman being too beautiful. We were kind of trained to believe that it was our duty to cover up because a man can't control himself. So warped. I guess I kind of figured out really early that sex was such a taboo topic in my circle. That is what sex was like for me growing up. It was like, sex is evil, sex is bad, but I'm not going to tell you what's so evil about it because it's a special thing between a husband and a wife. That wasn't a good enough excuse for me.
Refreshingly real, refreshingly honest, refreshingly human. A podcast about human connections, shared experiences, and finding that line of humanity. With your host, Hannah Pillow.
Hello, and welcome back to Refreshingly Human with myself, Hannah Pillow. You are here for the season finale with me. I know you have been waiting for this episode. It is where I get all about my experiences with sex and sexuality. So this is going to be so fun, guys. I want to start off by saying that, you know, when someone tells you not to do something, right? Or they tell you something is bad or evil, you just want to do it, right? You just want to know what is so bad about this thing. It's kind of like, I think that Eve felt this way about the forbidden fruit, right? It's kind of like God said, the fruit is evil, don't eat it. The fruit is forbidden, don't eat it. But, you know, he could have said, hey, Eve, this fruit will, like, make your feet fall off or, you know, make you bald if you eat it. But nope, he was like, don't eat the forbidden fruit with no reason. So hell yeah, Eve gonna eat that forbidden fruit. And that is what sex was like for me growing up. It was like, sex is evil, sex is bad, but I'm not going to tell you what's so evil about it because it's a special thing between a husband and a wife to become one, but it's only for marriage. And that wasn't a good enough excuse for me for sex to be that bad. I guess as I grew up, there were more and more reasons given to why sex was bad, but again, they were not good enough reasons. And I'm going to get into it, guys. But I want to highlight something. Have you ever been in an environment where something is both spoken about and not spoken about at the same fucking time? And that is what it was for me growing up when it came to conversations or not conversations about sex. So growing up, we weren't directly told about sex for a very long time. Like, I don't ever remember anyone sitting me down and being like, Hannah, this is where babies come from. Like, I never had that conversation with anyone ever. I learned about sex organically through a series of events and mis-events through the media, through things I've seen in magazines. But I never learned about sex directly from an adult figure in my life. Aside, technically, maybe my biology teacher, but, you know, telling me that the sperm travels into the egg, blah, 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 was not really a lesson in sex. It was a lesson in biology. So when I say that sex was both spoken about and not spoken about at the same time, I grew up in a very religious home, as most of you already know. And within religion, there tends to be kind of like an obsession with sex, I think. At least that was my experience. You know, there's like this underlying obsession with sex. And a lot of the rules that are given to you growing up, in some way, were related to sex, whether you knew it or not. So, for example, from a very young age, it was stressed to me about how a woman should be dressed. you know, a woman's hair should be covered. She should be wearing loose, modest clothing. And why was this? Because a woman is so attractive that if a man has to just see her, he would be like, I want to have sex, baby. And they wouldn't directly say these words to you, but that is what was implied. You know, it's like, I got to cover up my gorgeous hair because my hair is going to make a man want to have sex with me. Jeez, my hair has magic powers. So these were the subtle things that were kind of instilled in me growing up when it came to thinking about the opposite sex, thinking about sexuality. And then there was the added layer of that sex was only something that married people spoke about openly, or as openly as they would allow. And it was something that was precious between a husband and a wife. And I did believe this growing up. Like, seriously, I 100% believed that sex was pure between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. You know, I grew up in a community that didn't believe in homosexuality. And like, honestly, they didn't believe in homosexuality. Not even that they didn't agree with it or that they disliked it. They didn't believe in it. It was something that they would think is a choice. And that is the environment I grew up. So we would obviously have not learned about sex in those terms, in terms of a man and a man, a woman and a woman, or anything beyond husband and wife. So the first time I came across the word sex was actually quite funny. I was about 5 or 6 years old, a child, and there was a magazine on the table with the word S-E-X on it. And I was with an older child. She was maybe a year older than me, and she was looking at the word and she was like, can you read this word? And I was like, S-E-X. She's like, it's sex. She's like, do you know what it is? And I was like, no. And she was like, it's something very naughty. And that was the first experience I had with learning the word sex. And then there was this song that came about. I'm not sure if anyone out there remembers the song. Where it's like, ooh, ooh, ah, ah, sexy eyes. And that was like one of the uses of the word sexy that came into my vocabulary around the same time. And I remember one of my cousins and I, we were dancing and singing in the lounge and we were like, ooh, ooh, ah, ah, sexy eyes. And my mom was like mortified. She was like, don't say that word. Don't do that. And made us feel like we were doing something really dirty, but we were just enjoying ourselves singing a song that sounded really cool. And honestly, what's wrong with sexy eyes, mom? But yeah, so those were like two stories from like a very young age of just learning a little bit about what sex and sexuality could be. And then as I grew up, I think I was like maybe 10 years old when I was stuck in a room with a whole lot of teenagers. And man, teenagers be mean, y'all. So, so mean. We were all teenagers. But I was a child stuck in a room with a bunch of meanie teenagers, and they were talking about sex a lot. Damn, you know what? Just thinking back, they were talking about sex a lot. And I was in the room, and they were not like, oh, hush, hush, there's a child in the room. Instead, they were like, hey, young child sitting over there, do you know what sex is? I was like, no. And they gave me a fucking dictionary to look up the word sex and see what it is. I literally remember that that dictionary meaning gave me zero information about what sex was, and I was left with a whole lot of giggling teenagers around me. I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. I actually cannot remember the first time I realized what sex actually was. There was a weird story though. This was in school. And I used to love playing with my Barbies when I was a kid. And I went to a school with a lot of meanies. Man. we were only in like year 3 or grade 3. I don't even know what the grades are called anymore, but back then it was grade 3. So I must have been around 8 years old at this time. I mean, I was still playing with dolls. I was a kid. And I remember that there was this one girl particularly who loved to fucking gossip about everyone. And she was pulling everyone to the side to tell them some gossip she heard about another girl. And finally, it was my turn to hear the gossip. And the gossip was that this little girl, she was making her Barbies have sex. This was supposed to be a really embarrassing secret about this girl. And that is when I came to realize that sex had something to do with genitals. But Barbies don't have genitals. So still, it was still confusing. It was still really confusing. I just want to interrupt you listening for a brief second just to remind you to check out my social media pages. I'm on Instagram as Refreshingly Human Podcast and Facebook as Refreshingly Human. You can also check me out on LinkedIn as Hannah Pillow. And if you are enjoying the episode, please don't forget to take a screenshot of yourself listening to the episode and share it on your own social media. Don't forget to tag me so I can see that love for Refreshingly Human. Now I'll let you get back to the episode. So yeah, let's fast forward. Again, I don't exactly remember when I put two and two together and realized what sex actually was, the physical thing about sex. I guess as I went on to high school, you know, you start talking to your friends, you start watching movies that have a lot of sex in it. So you get the idea that I just organically learned what sex was. There was literally no one in my life who came and sat me down and said that a penis enters a vagina or any other conversation about sex. That never happened. In fact, in my household, the word penis and vagina was never fucking mentioned. Those were dirty words. Don't say that. You know, what is it? What would they call it? We had some weird words for penises and vaginas growing up. I guess one was the pee-pee. We called the penis the pee-pee. And we called the vagina, what did they call it? The cuckoo. some weird word like that. The pee-pee and the cuckoo. So we never used the words penis and vagina growing up in my household. No wonder we never talked about sex. And yeah, so I learned about sex organically through like the media and through my friends. And I actually remember when I was in high school, my second high school, I was in an all-girls Muslim high school. And dude, our hormones be raging when we are teenagers. You know, girl, boy, binary, our hormones be fucking raging, right? So I remember we used to have the conversations about sex like all the time, whenever we could. I know we even used to try to embarrass our teachers, I say, with quotation marks, because in a Muslim school, if you bring up sex, they would all be like really caught on the spot, and you'd see blushing, and you'd see some crazy shit. So we would, I remember I was very much an antagonist with my teachers, especially if they were an easy target. And I would love to ask them questions that are going to make them blush, but also that's going to make them stop talking about the boring lessons we were learning and something more juicy like sex. There was one teacher, however, who loved to tell us about sex in a lot of details. She was someone who married quite a few times, which no judgment there. That was her life. But yeah, she was married quite a few times. And because in our community, you only have sex when you are married, she was quite experienced. She wanted to share that shit with us. So she would tell us some weird ass stories. I actually don't remember the details of these stories for some reason. I just remember that she used to talk about it a lot. And I remember that another teacher had actually reproached her for doing that. And like, you cannot talk to these girls about sex. You cannot talk to teenage girls about sex. Like, why? And yeah, so we used to have a lot of conversations, and I was like, again, I loved the shock factor as a teenage girl. I used to love to say things just to make people be like, what the fuck are you saying, woman? So I used to say a whole lot of dumb shit to my friends. I remember one specific conversation we were having about sex where So for us, sex would only happen on your first night after being married. And a lot of girls were saying how they were going, they would be really scared to have sex on the first night. And like, you know, the hole is really tiny and what's going to happen? And it's going to be really painful. And they were all like really scared. And I was like, hey, on my wedding night, I'm going to be like, open up and just come at me. And they were like, what? She just say that. Yeah, so I would say a lot of weird shit about sex. Just to get the reactions, man. I just love the reactions. I guess I kind of figured out really early that sex was such a taboo topic in my circle, and it was such an easy target to get to. That's kind of when I just started loving making these sexual jokes to people, because I just love the shock factor that comes behind it. I guess now I'm in a community, and I mean this, you know, my circle now is a lot more open about sex, and they also a lot more used to me that now if I miss a sex joke, my friends are like, girl, you're slipping. And if I get it, they're like, Hannah's back. So yeah, I've got a reputation now to keep up. But yeah, so that is kind of how I learned about sex. And again, zero conversations about sex happened, like, in my household, in my family. So going back to the point I made earlier where sex was not spoken about and spoken about at the same time. So while all this was happening in my, you know, in my own personal life, like the experiences I had with my friends and my cousins and my classmates, at home, as I was growing up and becoming a teenager, the way I was dressed and the way I was told to dress was slowly changing. And my mom is a very strict Muslim woman, and I was kind of forced into a hijab as soon as I started menstruating, because I don't know, blood means that I'm a woman and I can immediately have babies, so I needed to cover up. You know, makes perfect sense. So yeah, I was forced to cover up as soon as I had my first period. I don't know, like for you women listeners out there, or anyone who identifies as a woman out there, if you go back to that time when you had your first period, it is an awkward time in a girl's life. I know it was for me, like, at that age where you're kind of like transitioning from tween to teenager, your hormones are changing, your body is changing. I was very insecure back then. I was very, very overweight. I had a really bad skin problem. I had braces. I had to wear glasses, which there's nothing wrong with wearing glasses. I still wear them. But yeah, I just had a lot of things that were against the norms of society's beauty, and my self-esteem was really, really low. And then I was forced into wearing the hijab, which affected my self-esteem even more. And I'm going to go a lot more details into that in a coming up season where we're going to discuss society standards of beauty. But I want to tie that to sexuality, because the obsession around me to cover myself up was based on a woman being too beautiful. And in the episode I spoke to Amal about, we spoke about how we were kind of trained to believe that it was our duty to cover up because a man can't control himself. So warped. So warped. And it was an obsession, guys. I cannot stress how much of an obsession this was in the community I grew up in. Like, I can't even express the trauma that this had put me through growing up. But anyway, the first time an adult actually spoke to me about sex directly was the night before my first marriage. One of my aunts came to pack my first night back. This is so funny. So she had to pack lingerie, because lingerie is like a huge thing back home. Apparently, I actually, hit me up if any of you ever had this experience, right? I actually, back home in South Africa, and within my culture, lingerie is like a huge fucking deal. People buy it all the time. And sex with your husband is like this huge deal where you plan a night, you put on candles, you put on your sexy lingerie. But coming to meeting people who live in more Western countries, I realized that no one gives a fuck about lingerie here. Am I right in saying this, or am I just in a different circle of people? Like, do you like lingerie? Is it something that you are very passionate about wearing? For me personally, in my own life, sex happens organically most of the time, and I don't even have time to go and put some lingerie on most of the time, you know? Anyway, back to that night. So she was packing lingerie in my bag. It was like a tiny little suitcase. She put my lingerie in. She packed a towel. She packed lube. And she told me what to do. And she said that I might bleed and that I might need to use the lube. And she told me exactly what I needed to do that night. And that was the only conversation anyone had ever had with me about sex. Now, there was also another thing that someone gave me before I got married, and it was a book for Muslim women who are getting married. You know what? I would try to find this book for you and take a shot of this thing that I read and put it on social media. I'm going to try and find the book. But I remember this book was given a lot of details on the sexual positions that a man and woman were allowed within our Muslim faith to practice. And it also gave even more advice to how to have deeper penetration and how to have sex to get pregnant. There was very detailed advice about that in this book. And yes, someone gave me this book before I got married. I think it was my mom. That was her way of having a conversation. Oh, and speaking of my mom, the closest she ever came to talking to me about sex was when I went to high school, and she was like, "I'm going to tell you the same thing my dad told me when I went to high school. If I so much as catch you speaking to a boy, I'm taking you out of school." That was the closest I came to a conversation about sex with my mom. I'm not going to assume that talking to a boy had to do with sex. I don't know how we go from talking to sex, but I'm going to assume there was some connection there, right? Again, sex was so spoken and not spoken about at the exact same time while I was growing up. So that fast forwards to my first night of marriage, which was my first experience of kissing a man, having sex, and everything all at once, like I said in my episode with Katik. So I did not know my ex-husband for that long before we got married. We met in person maybe about 3 or 4 times before we got married, for very short periods of time, like not even for that long. And he held my hand. That was like, I think, the most physical contact we had before marriage. And I mean, we were talking on the phone for maybe a month or so. No, more than that. Maybe about 6 months. We were speaking on the phone for about 6 months. I still didn't know that much about my ex, which is a whole lot of story. But yeah, on the first night of marriage, we were expected to have sex. And guys, oh my God, this is so funny. Right. So I remember. So I had my aunt pack my own lingerie, but there's something even more weird happened that night. My ex's mother very sweetly bought me a lingerie set. And when I had a shower that night, my ex took the liberty of placing this lingerie box on the bed. That is so fucking cringe, but it so happened, guys. I can tell you that I didn't use it that night because it was just so weird to have your ex's mother give you lingerie on your wedding night. Do you think that's weird? I think it is sweet, I guess, but kind of weird. Yeah, so that night, stuff happened. I'm not going to go into details because it's kind of personal. It involves another human being. But I will tell you this. That is kind of when I realized that my entire life after getting married was the whole family was going to be involved in every fucking thing. Because that evening, his cousins called him, or they kept trying to call. I don't remember if he actually answered their call, but his cousins called him to check if he has had sex and to congratulate him. Because, you know, it's kind of like a high five moment for guys because they're so mature about it. And I mean, in our culture, you get married so you can fucking have sex most of the time. And so that was like, oh, you got married. You got to have sex. High five, high five. That literally happened, guys. Not even lying. That literally happened. But yes, so that is my experience with sex up until that point. There's a lot more to it after that. And I'm going to do a second part to this episode for you so I can dig deeper into finding my true sexuality, finding myself as a woman and becoming comfortable with who I was sexually and letting go of that shame. So there's a lot more I can dig into. And I'm going to go into that in the next episode because I don't want to rush it and I don't want to make you one long episode. We went into so much today. So the next episode, I'm going to give you even more details about how I actually found my sexual empowerment. Yeah, so thanks so much for listening to this and let me know what you thought. Send me a DM on Instagram. You know, I'm really active on Instagram and I love reading you guys' messages. So just send me a shout out. I love reading all of your messages. And thanks so much for listening. I will see you on the next episode for part two of Hannah Sexy Times. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Refreshingly Human with myself, Hannah Pillow. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, don't forget to share it with a friend you think would enjoy the content as well. You can also leave me a review on iTunes or podchaser.com. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Refreshingly Human Podcast, Facebook as Refreshingly Human, and LinkedIn as Hannah Pillow. And I'll see you guys on the next episode.
Music and podcast editing by Tonekeeper Productions. Visit www.tonekeeperproductions.com.